May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Again, Psalm 27 says, David was 60 years old. He had 10 more years to live. And he looks back over his life and he looks towards the whatever his future is going to be. And he says, this one thing I've asked that I shall seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold his beauty and inquire of him. His desire was to spend his life in the presence of the Lord, discovering new things about his character and new things, the attributes of God, and then being able to talk about them with the Lord. We've spent a couple of days this week looking at some of the characteristics or the attributes of God that the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon has discovered. I know that I'm always explaining this thing in the Song of Solomon, but for most people, the Song of Solomon's a pretty foreign book. But the Song of Solomon is just a book written in poetry, so it represents things. It's all types. And it's just talking about a believer among other believers who has made a decision to live their life radically set apart for him, to become more and more like him, to be filled with his fullness and to be able to experience all that there is of him. And so in that process, this journey of this one who's become a radical one, Song of Solomon talks about it being a hidden one, there's just these, all these discoveries and relationship and journey that goes on. And in chapter 5, in part of chapter 5 of Song of Solomon, there are just these things to date that the Shulamite begins to praise him for, characteristics, attributes about him that this believer has discovered in this journey, things about his beauty. That's sort of a strange word, isn't it, to describe the Lord? And years ago, I remember reading that, hearing that phrase and thinking, it just seems kind of sissy when you're talking about God. But as I've gotten older, I realize, oh my goodness, he's the most, Scripture says that he's the fairest among the sons of men. And there's a beauty about him. If you read some places in the book of Revelation, it's just extraordinary. It's take your breath away. It's just a great way to describe him. And Song of Solomon, we've just been picking out a few things, but this is Song of Solomon chapter 5, verse 10. Now again, this is in poetic language, so I'm just going to read the verses, but this tell you what they represent. Whenever I don't know what else to look at in Scripture, this is the place, Song of Solomon, that I always end up coming back to. This is really my home in the Bible. I've spent about 35 years teaching the Song of Solomon, and it's just this great place of joy for me. This is my Song of Solomon coloring book. And so I spent a lot of time. If I lose this Bible, I'm selling insurance for a living because I got nothing else to do because I don't keep very good notes. Verse 10, my beloved, speaking of Jesus, is both glorious and earthy. He's outstanding among 10,000. His hair is like gold, like pure gold. And the locks, his hair are like clusters of dates and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves beside streams of water, bathed in milk and reposed in their setting. His cheeks are like a bed of balsam, banks of sweet-scented herbs, and his lips are like lilies dripping with liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. And just a couple of things, and I'm really not even done this in order very well this week. This has just flown out of my own devotional time with the Lord. And maybe that particular day, I just need to be reminded of this particular aspect of the beauty of the Lord, his attributes and how it applies to my own personal life. But when it says in verse 11, there are two places in this little section that references gold. And gold in Scripture always speaks of deity. And when he says in verse 11, it said his head is like gold, pure gold. And then in verse 14, it says his hands are like rods of gold set with beryl. Or the beryl here is a stone that can be sort of clear with sort of a golden color to it. And when he says set, it could be rings or fingernails. I'm not really sure. Nobody seems to really know. But it speaks of his head being in pure gold, and it speaks of his hands being gold, set with beryl. Was the 10th stone. You know, and the high priest, they had a stone, 12 stones on his vest. And each of the stone represented one of the tribes of Israel. And the 10th stone was beryl. And beryl was the stone of Asher. And the word Asher means happy or gladness in Scripture. And the number 10 always speaks of something complete. 7 is the number of perfection, but 10 is like it completes the first digits. It's the number of completion. It's also a number of government. It's also a number of what's best, the 10th. In the Gospel of John, there were 10 Jesus statements, I am. So it speaks of the first one, and talks about God's head of gold, pure gold. It speaks of God's sovereign leadership in our lives. Pure gold, which means it's perfect gold. I guess, is that 24 karat gold, or is there one higher than that? The most expensive, the purest, the perfect. And it's just, she's discovered something, this believer, this Shulamite, that God's leadership in their life is perfect. That's important for us to understand. If you're a Christian, and you're even slightly serious about being yielded to the Lord, the enemy's not ordering the steps of your life. The Lord is. Now, there's warfare. There's always flak. There's always attack and involvement. But God's sovereign leadership is at work in our lives. I mentioned this Sunday. It's kind of been a little popular in a couple of circles lately of some really good people, great teachers. But they're trying to not come to a conclusion that bad things are God's fault. And bad things aren't God's fault. God tempts no man to evil. And so they'd say things like, well, God's not in control. That's just nonsense. Scripture makes it very clear. It doesn't mean that God orders everything. It just means God's got everything in order. You may be in a situation that everything happened in the situation is not your perfect will, but you're still in control of the situation. It's not outside your ability to cause to work together for good. That's what being in control means. And what people will say, well, he's not in control, he's in charge. It's the same thing. He is in control, and he's also in charge. And the Scripture makes it very clear that he orders the steps of a righteous man. Now, I don't understand all that. I gave up on that years ago, trying to figure that out. And I'm glad I can't figure it out. That means God's bigger than I am. What we do in the West, in theology, even very, very good people who have a real anointing in their life, they feel like somehow they've got to explain everything about God. Well, you just can't. That's why I love Eastern people in the Middle East. Their approach to understanding God is that all they can say is what God isn't, because they can't fully understand all that God is. There's some things we know. There's just a lot we don't know. But I do know this. God has sovereign leadership in your life and my life. And the devil's not in control of my life. God's in control of my life. I believe there's a real devil. I believe we have to stand against him. I believe there's real warfare. But God's sovereign leadership can be trusted. The other thing that says about him, it says that his hands are like gold set with beryl. When you speak of the hands of the Lord, you're speaking of his divine activity. That's really connected to God's sovereignty. I can trust his leadership is perfect, and I can trust that his divine activity is complete. That number 10 again. 10 has the idea of strength, that he's doing it just right, that he's able. And the Asher, the word happy, the idea here is that if you'll just trust his leadership and depend on his divine activity from his perspective, it'll all have a happy ending. He does cause all things to work together for good. He doesn't cause all things, But even the things he doesn't cause is bigger than his sovereign leadership or his divine activity. I don't know what you're going through, what you might be experiencing today, but I can tell you this. The ones in the Song of Solomon, we'll talk about this a bit more tomorrow, but when it says his locks are like clusters of dates, black as raven, that's a picture of a young person's hair, dark hair. Jesus was 33 at the height of his humanity, manhood, when he died. And even though scripture tells us that there's this, he has white hair and eyes like fire, but he also is the Lion of Judah, and he also has hair like this. He's full of youthfulness and passion. God's not ho-hum about you. He has deep passion for you. And his sovereign leadership is full of passion. It's not a passive thing. He's passionately involved in every detail of your life. He's passionately releasing his divine activity in your life. You can trust him. He's big enough. He knows what he's doing. If you'll trust him, it'll have a happy ending. Even if it's down the road before you see it all. I don't have to see it all to know that he's sovereignly leading and he's active in power, doing it completely, doing it just right. George and I were talking about, there's a situation and we're dealing with, it's a long story, but with our house insurance. We've had to get a new company, and I think insurance companies, house insurance companies particularly, or maybe insurance companies as a whole, there's been this massive demon possession that's happened to all insurance companies. And I have a dear friend who works for Nationwide, you know, and the little song goes, Nationwide is on your side. And so I told him they need to change it on TV. It says, Nationwide will skin your hide, because that's more like what it's like. And so we keep running into this thing with this insurance company. It keeps costing us money, and they're going to cancel our house insurance. But you know what? They're not in charge of my life. There's one whose head is like pure gold. He's thought it all out. He's so brilliant. He's so amazing. You know, I can trust his leadership, and he's at work in it all. His hand is like gold. He's going to do it just right, completely right. It's going to have a happy ending from his perspective, and I want what he wants, don't you? I don't want what I want. I don't want my happy ending. I want his in this. That's just and he's passionate about it. He's just like into it, involved. That's just some of the things about the beauty of the Lord. And it makes a difference in how we live our lives every day, isn't it? How we respond to life every day. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.